Starting the top of Membe's Amud Aleph at the Tura. Da'amar, the kulam shgilchu shlo b'tar, lo shishayru shtei sarot, lo asa v'lo kulam. So as we saw before, that anybody who cuts without a razor, or cuts and leaves over two hairs, right, then they haven't successfully cut their hair at the end of their nizirut. So Amar Rav Acha, Breger Rav Yika, so based on this statement, Zotomeret rubo kukulo mi deoraisa. That from this we see that in general, when you have a rov, that is considered, we have the majority, it is considered as if you've done the whole thing, min ha-Torah. So it says, mimai. How do you know this? The goli rachmona gabi nozir, since the Torah told us by nozir specifically, biyom hashvi igal chenu, right, on the seventh day, he needs to take a haircut. This is talking about tiglachas hatuma, right, that he's getting a haircut. At the end of his period of Tumah to re-enter into the Zirut. But it says, the Chiyum Mut, make the Lapet Bidom, it's May Rosh Nizo, Vigilach, Rosho Biyom Tarato. And then it repeats it and says, Biyom Ashvi Yigal Chenu. So what's the Yom Ashvi, the extra Biyom Ashvi Yigal Chenu? So Halkohu Ad Ika Kulu. That extra Biyom Ashvi Yigal Chenu tells us he has to cut his whole head, everything, not even two hairs left. Haba Alma Rubo Kukulo. So the presumption is that if in the rest of the Torah robe is good enough, then the Torah has to go out of its way by Nazir to teach you that robe doesn't work, and you need literally kol. The fact that it needs to teach you literally kol by Nazir implies that in the rest of the Torah, rubo kukulo would work. So, atki flo rav yosi rav chino, hai ben Nazir tamek div. What do you mean? This is written by Nazir tamek, and here you're talking about Nazir tor. Simachaku Allah. So in Eretz Yisrael they laughed about the question of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina.
What's the question?
What's the question is that we are trying to learn to Nazir Tahor. Right?
We're trying to learn to call Torah Kula.
Right, but also to Nazir Tahor, that you can't leave over any amounts, you can't leave any hair over. So there are two things. One, there are two
implications. It's easier to learn to Nazir Tahor than to call it Torah Kula, but
right.
It seems that he's trying to learn to call it Torah Kula.
Right. The statement of the Gemara is that you can learn the Torah Kula because of what it says by Nazir.
Yeah.
Because why would the Nazir have to tell you that you have to do everything unless other places we think that you don't have to do everything? So that's one separate limit. Then the second limit is that by Nazir we require him to do everything. How do you know by Nazir you have to require him to do everything? So the answer to the Gemara is, oh, but Yom HaShvi Yigal Chenu. But Yom HaShvi Yigal Chenu was only found by Nazir Tameh. How do you know the statement of Amar Mar, Ho Galushu Belo Bataro, Shashayru Shteis Tzarot, Lassu Belo Klum? How do you know that when you take the haircut at the end of your Nazirut, if you don't robe, it's not sufficient? How do you know that? That the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef Rechanin asked this, and they, Machakolei, but Allah, Bimarov, they laughed about this question in Eretz Yisrael. Vichte, Nazir Tameh, Dibitar, Minola. How do you know that a Nazir Tameh needs a razor? Nazir Tahor Yalif. Learn it out from Nazir Tahor, which says Tahor, either way, depending if you're Rebbe or the other Tana over there, but basically it says V'tar lo yavor al rosho, but that's written by Nazir Tahor. And yet we still require a razor by a Nazir Tameh. Minola the Nazir Tahor Yalif. So too over here, if we have such a heckish between them, they can do it this way. Right? But if a person leaves over when he's cutting for his tuma, his tiglach of the tuma leaves over two hairs, he's done nothing. So also over here, he has done nothing. Okay, Baya Baya. So Baya asked, Nozir Shigileach Vishier Shteise Arot. We'll keep it on pause for a second. The next part of the Gemara is Baya Baya. Baya asks, Nozir Shigileach Vishier Shteise Arot. So Nozir takes the haircut and leaves over two hairs. Then, Samach Rosho, the rest of his hair that he shaved off, grows back. And then he goes ahead and he cuts them. Right, so what you see what's happened here is that he cut his whole head, but left over two hairs, which would be ma'akiv. Then his hair grows back, and he cuts the two hairs that he left over. Ma'u. Mi ma'akve olo. Do we say that is ma'akiv or not? Meaning that when he, does that, is that called giluach? because he cut all the hairs of his head. He eventually cut everything except two, and then he cut those two, so he's done a guluach. Or when he comes to cut those two additional hairs, the other hair has already grown back. So it can't be considered a guluach, because when he cuts those last two hairs, all the other hair is there, and that will not be considered a guluach. So we have to have it where the whole head is totally cleanly shaven, and therefore you have to shave those two hairs while the other hair is also shaved. Or just we need that every hair be shaved. Every hair be shaved, then he's already shaved everything. Plus, now he's done the other two that he needed to complete his...
Chazer v'gilta means he went and he only shaved those two hairs.
Then shaved the whole head. No, then it wouldn't be a question, right? You just shaved those two hairs. Okay, now, the Gemara continues with a series of questions from Rava. The Gemara actually appears also in the Gemara Baba Kama and Kufay Amud Aleph. I'm going to read the Gemara from Baba Kama because the Girsot here are very difficult. The Rishonim are all dealing with the Tosos, the Mefarish, the Rosh, everybody's dealing with the Girsot over here. I'm just going to read it from the Gemara Baba Kama, which is obviously much better redacted and reads much more smoothly, okay? I'll read it, you'll probably be able to follow it anyway in the Gemara in the Nazir, but it'll have a little better explanation. So, Amar Rava. So, Bai Rava.
Here it is, Bai.
Yeah. Bai Rava. Where is this? Bai Rava. Alright, so maybe we'll wait one more second. We'll read one more line here. Amar Rava. Hari Amru. Alright, so this is Bai Rava. Alright, so that Nazir Shigileach, we share Shtei Sarot, La Savalo Plum. So that's our Gemara, that's the basic argument. Now, yes, Bai Rava. Gileach achat v'nashra achat mahu. Right? So what happens if he had two hairs left over? I mean, he left two hairs over at the end of his haircut, and what ends up happening is he shaves one of those hairs, and then the last hair falls out. Okay? So that's it. Amar lei Rav Acha midifti l'Ravina, nozir shgileach achat achat kamei boile. What do you mean? What's the question? By the Rav, what's the question of Rav over here? If you were to shave, obviously you shave sequentially. Meaning that you can't shave all your hairs at once. You're shaving one at a time. So if he shaves his whole head except two hairs, then he shaves the next hair, right? That's as if he shaved his whole head. And now what's left over? One. And that one falls out. One is not makif. So what's the question at all? He shaved his whole head and then he shaved the one hair. That's a normal type of shaving. So that can't be the question. No, the other way around. What happened? One of them fell out. He left two hairs, and first one of them fell out. And then he shaved the last hair. So now what do I have here? When I shaved my head originally, right, I left over two hairs, which are me'akev. So now when I come to shave those two hairs, they're not there. One of them has already fallen out. So now I can't shave the two hairs that I left over. Can't shave the two hairs left over. Maybe that equal doesn't go away. Or maybe on the other hand, our requirement is that all the hair be removed. And all the hair is removed now, even though it fell out. So that's what Gemara says here in the question. Right here, there is no hair anymore. Or Dilma, halav giluachu. Right? Do we say that the whole purpose of shaving your head is that there be no hair? And now when you've shaved your head, left over the two hairs, one fell out, you cut the other one, there is no hair left, right? O Dilma, halav giluachu. Or maybe this isn't considered shaving. We're required to shave your head, and that's not shaving. Demikara hashir shnei sarot. In the beginning, he left over two hairs. Bahashta kigileach lavi be'sarot. And now when he goes to cut his hair, there are two hairs to cut. So he can't complete his, right? Can't complete his, hadar pashta. So now the Gemara, this is where the Girsa gets very difficult to us. First of all, the Gemara here added in the two tzdodim of what Rav was thinking. Our Gemara doesn't have it, but explicitly states what the two tzdodim are. Then, hadar pashto, this is where our Girsa gets difficult. Sayar inkan, giluach inkan. So the Gemara says, oh, no problem. He answered up his question. He said, the end. There is no hair here. There is no shaving here.
No requirement for shaving.
Oh, that's not what it says. It says that he said that there is no hair and there is no shaving. So the Gemara asked that question. The Gemara says, sayar inkan, giluach yeshkan. What do you mean? Is what you're saying. If there is no hair, then it should be as if he shaved it. Meaning that you can't say that there is no hair and there's no giluach. Those are the two tzadim of Rava. Either I need no hair and I have no hair, or I need giluach and I can't do giluach. But you can't have it be both ways. So Gemara says, Yisayara inkan giluach yeshkan. Right? That doesn't make any sense. If there is no Yisayar, that means that you did shave it. Meaning it's the equivalent of shaving it. So Mar says, "Okay, Kamar, like you just said, Apa Pisha say Ar Enkan Mitzvah Giluach Enkan." So even though there's no hair here, Mitzvah Giluach Enkan, you can't accomplish it because there is no hair here. You can't do the Giluach. You can't do the shaving. If you can't do the shaving, then what? You can't complete the Giluach of the Shvi'i.
So that would mean if a Nazir whose hair all fell out, he'd also have the same problem.
Right, possibly. Although there it's different. Here he shaved his head and left over two, so he has an equal to his shaving. And he did the shaving, and then he left over two hairs, and he can't shave those hairs because they're gone now. So he has to wait for his hair to grow back. Person who has no hair to shave to start with, right?
No, he did have hair to shave.
Or if before
it fell out.
Right, but the point where he came to shave it, there was no hair.
Yeah.
Maybe that there's no equal at this point,
right,
because he has no two hairs left. That might be okay. It might be that he doesn't.
Right.
Or may just have to run the razor over it, and that'll be yotze. Here, the problem is that he had, you know, when we say kolsha bila me'akevipo, right? Whenever you have the, right, you don't have to do bila mixing where it's not me'akev. But where it is makev, then you can't, then even if you don't mix it, right? Sorry. If you do need bila, right, and you're able to do bila, then it's not makev. But if you can't do bila, then bila is makev. It's the same thing over here. If you could shave all the hairs off, and then you leave the two hairs at the end, that's gonna be makev, and when they fall out, it's gonna cause you a problem. If you never had any hair to shave because it fell out before you got to the point where you needed to shave it, then maybe that's not ma'akev anymore and you could shave your head. I think that's definitely the case. Now just what the conclusion of the Gemara is here is also funny because the Mepharish says, what does it mean, mitzvah giluach enkan? That sounds like it's a lechatchila thing. But the mitzvah giluach is no longer here. And that's, the Mepharish over here says, mihu b'di'evit shapir dami. B'di'evit yotze. Meaning that if you shave the giluach, left over the two hairs and they fall out, even though he lost the mitzvah giluach, he still accomplished what he needed to do, which is have a clean head. That's the way the Mepharish learned. Although that's a little more difficult. It sounds like from the Gemara, which I think is true, that it's ma'akev. And that's what Tosfos says over here. Tosfos in Bava Kama says that what does it mean, mitzvah giluach enkan? Ume'akev lishtot yayin u'latam le'meitim. It's ma'akev. If you can't do a giluach, then you can't finish up your nizirut, at least according to the one who believes that the giluachas is ma'akev. It's as if he hasn't shaved. Komar. Like Rabbi Lezer says that Giluach Smakit. So Dharma Yishta and Nazir Yain Akar Kum. Inami. So he gives the other possibility, which is the possibility of the Mepharish. That the Inyan Mitzvah Komar. The Lokian Mitzvah Giluach. He's not a kind of Mitzvah Giluach. But Liba Zukuliyama, the Pluk that he been Nazir prepared Kimumini. That it's not Ma'akev. Giluach's not Ma'akev. Since Giluach's not Ma'akev, then. But he says over here, he didn't do the Giluach. So he didn't do the mitzvah giluach, but doesn't stop him from afterwards drinking wine and being the time of the mitzvah. He's ended his nizirut. It's a machlokas. We had this comment, I think, Rabbi Lezer earlier on, that whether giluach is ma'akev or not ma'akev.
And how does the Rambam learn that last line? I see he passes there. Mitzvah giluach enkan. What he says.
Right, whether it's a lechatchila or the other.
Yeah.
All right. Now, next Mishnah. Nazir chufeif, u'mitpats face of a losereik. Right, so there's a restriction against the Nazir taking his hair out. Right, so now, what about when he rubs his hair, he shampoos his hair? What about that? So the Mishnah says he's allowed to be chufeif. And what is chufeif? Chufeif, according to the Mepharish, chufeif means migareit, means to scrape. Or to scratch, or to scrape his head.
Only with his fingers on that.
Right. Umifat's face means that he divides up his hair, that he somehow parts or, you know, moves his hair without using a comb. So that's kofeif, umifat's face. Tosin says that kofeif is kofro shobin etter ba'adama, that it sounds like he's washing his hair. It sounds like he's shampooing his hair. He's using netter, you know, some sort of, but.
Kind of soap.
Right, soap or cleanser and a daman, dirt, whatever it is that they use, some sort of astringent to clean the hair out. So you're allowed to do that.
Right.
As in a mitzvah space is that, again, he says the same as the Mepharish, so it means dividing the hair without using a comb. So those two are allowed, but using a comb is not allowed. So Mar says, Kofi mitzvah space mani, who's the author of the mission that allows you to do these things? That's Rabbi Shimon here. This is Rabbi Shimon from the Gemara in Shabbos. Shimon and the Shabbos believe Damar Davar Shenot Kavein is Mutar. If the Rishonim Skabin, it's mutar. So over here, when the Nazir does chupayt mepas face, it's not necessarily obvious or certain that his hair will fall out. And if his hair does fall out, that is a davar she'eino misgavin, and therefore he's allowed to do it. He's mutar to do it. Whereas about lo sorek, sounds like he can't comb, atam l'rabbonon. That sounds like it goes to Rabbanan, or meaning Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara Shabbos, that davar she'eino misgavin is asur, because what you see that you're not allowed to comb. When you're combing, some hair might fall out. So Gemara says, reisha Rabbi Shimon, the sefer Rabbanan. The Gemara says, nah, barabba, kula Rabbi Shimon, he kola sorek, asir nimim, du dolot mitkavin. When a person combs their hair, not only are they trying to move the hair on their head, but they're trying to also remove any loose hairs, any hairs that are just hanging on for dear life, that aren't really attached well. When they comb the hair, you comb out the hair, you assume that those dead hairs, or those nearly dead hairs, are going to come out. So therefore, it is a psik reshe. It's basically definite that when you comb your hair, hair will come out. And therefore, one may not be so rake their hair because your intent, your miskave, to remove the hair. So it's one of two, I guess. You could say either that it's mitzkave, that you want to remove the hair, and therefore it's no longer a davar she'eino mitzkave, or it's a psik reshe.
That's not both. The psik reshe isn't mitzkave.
What?
Psik reshe is...
Right.
It can't be both. Psik reshe isn't mitzkave. Psik reshe in general...
All right, well, that's a question. What psik reshe does? Very good. So there's two deos about what a psik reshe does. Does psik reshe turn your inu kavana into kavana? Because your intent, we apply the intent of... Meaning that, by definition, since the psik reshe, since it must happen, we say that that's your intention. Or do we say, since you intended for the first thing, the psik reshe makes it that the second one also has whatever intent you had for the first thing. Right? Because you want to comb your hair, and we know you want to comb your hair, we're going to apply that wanting to the other one. Alright, but you're right. Alright, so let's just assume that it's been scabbing yet, but tomorrow we'll get the psik reshe in a second. Now, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, next Mishnah, lo yichufa adama p'neshe meseret et atzayar. Shouldn't use the dirt to clear the hair, some sort of that is stringent to clear your hair, because it removes your hair. Masheret, because it removes the hair. It's not, right? Oh, dilma ipnei ha-masheret, it's not, because it will, it could remove the hair. L'may nafkamina, what is the nafkamina? It goes to ikad damah to lo matra. If you find some sort of dirt or cleanser that does not remove the hair. Right? So if you say, because this dirt removes the hair, you can't use it, then, then it's okay. If you say, right? If you say, that because it might take it away, there are times where it'll take it away, then you have a problem, because even when you find things that are not taking out the hair, we're going to be goes there up to the times that it is removing the hair. Since we are worried about you removing the hair, that means that even in cases where it doesn't, we're not going to let you do it. Hello, somewhere says, teku. It's a teku. So in Rabbi Yishmael, alright, so if you look down in the Rosh is in the last narrow line in the Rosh. It says, mipat space, mavil sorok yizuvazu. Avalo sorek. You see that in the last line in the Rosh? Avalo sorek. It's probably towards the last two lines in the Rosh. Avalo sorek. That he's allowed to separate his hair by driving a line through them, or whatever, drawing lines through them without using a comb. Why not a comb? The lo sorek to have a psik reshe. Because that is a psik reshe. I can infer Shabbi Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, al lo yichup ba'adamah d'chashik lay psik reshe. He says, don't use the adamah because that is considered a psik reshe. So that's the Rosh learns that it's a problem of psik reshe. By definition, when you comb or you use dirt, right, it's going to come out, the hair will come out for sure, and that's a psik reshe. You could have learned, and that's a possibility, that even though sorek in general does not have psik reshe, that the hair comes out, but because you want the hair to come out, when it does come out, that is davar she'miskave. Right, davar she'miskave is not going to be potur. Right, or you could say that it is miskave because of the psik reshe, which we just discussed. It's just interesting to know here, it's an important thing, that the application of davar she'miskave outside of Shabbos. Because in general, when we think about davar she'eino miskave, lochshin, tzricha legufa, all these items, they are unique to Shabbos, because Shabbos requires melaches machsheves. Right? Since you require melaches of Shabbos, then kavanah is important in what you do. But you see from here that the Gemara has application for davar she'eino miskave, even outside of Shabbos. See here that davar she'eino miskave has been using by Nazir, even though there's no requirement of Malachas Machshevet by Nazir.
Here we're talking about Chiyuv Chatas, and Shogeg is a kind of, no, we're not, no, really Chiyuv Chatas.
No, even a lav here, it's talking about a lav, even next.
We're talking about a lav.
Yeah.
So, but a lav, when you talk about Shogeg and Mezid, you aren't interested in knowing the intent.
It's right, but that's not, the intent there is to know whether he's doing it intentionally or not doing it intentionally, but not mitzkaven l'mlacha. Here we're not talking about kavana with regards to his intent is he does it by accident or he does it on purpose. Here we're talking about kavana with regards to, right, the malacha itself. Does the malacha itself, does the outcome of the malacha have the intention? Meaning that when you comb your hair, when you rub your hair, right, if you would say like this, for instance, whenever you rub your hair comes out. And that's what you intend for. Then, if someone goes ahead, he can still be a shogeg in that instance. If he goes ahead and forgets that he's not allowed to shampoo his hair, and he goes and shampoos his hair, he'll be a shogeg, right? And it'll still be Dovar Shemitz Kavi. Because the intention, like for instance, if he combs his hair. The person who combs his hair, right, is a Dovar Shemitz Kavi or Pesik Reshe, and nevertheless, he can still be a shogeg when he covers his hair. That the kavanah of shogeg and mezid are independent of the kavanah in the internal malacha itself. Third malacha is, how does this malacha function, or how does this isur function? Does this isur, in and of itself, when you do something, is that your intent or not your intent? When you comb your hair, is your intent to remove hairs, or is your intent not to remove hairs? Mar's conclusion is that when you comb your hair, you intend to remove hairs. That doesn't mean that you could comb your hair, you could also comb your hair bimezid, or comb your hair bishogeg. Right, so the term here of Darshan is Kavin, it happens to be a Shabbos term or a Shabbos concept, and here we see that we're applying it even outside of Shabbos. We see that a couple other places. See, it's Gemara in Chulin by the Mizbeach, when they sprinkle on the Mizbeach, and then I'll have Mechabed Eish. See it by,
Kerbanos.
Huh? By there.
Right, by Misasek, by Kerbanos.
Right, but there it's not, again, there you're talking about the outside Malacha, not the internal Malacha. Uh-huh. Right, and then you have it by kilayim. And Gemara Brachos talks about it by kilayim if you're putting it on to be escape the taxes and not to wear it. So we see that Dover Sescaving shows up in places even outside of Shabbos. So it turns out that it's a Shabbos, so it's not unique to Shabbos. So then you have to ask, what is unique about Dover Sescaving by Shabbos because of Malachas Machshevus versus Kol HaTorah Kula? Is there differences? I mean, maybe Dover Sescaving and Kol HaTorah Kula is different than the Davashin of Miskaveh that is found by Shabbos. And that might be true, and the same is true with Malacha She'ein Tzricha L'gufa. Alright, so that's important, as Tosos and Shabbos discusses this, whether the application, either Abonon, whether the application is outside of Shabbos. When you have Davashin of Miskaveh, what does Rabbi Shimon believe? What is it, Potur or Mutar?
Like if you intend to uproot hairs, by Chippah, by being Chofev, I want my hair to come out and my hope, my chafifa.
Yeah.
And you do that.
Right, then it would be a problem. Right? It would be a problem to do chafifa like that, yes. Because then you switch chafifa to a davar shemis gabi. Right, even though you could have forgotten that you were a nazir and you're still a shogeg. You could be chayv achatas, I'm saying, but that's, this kavana here is not related to the shogeg mezuz kavana. Alright, I think Mark. No, nazir, she shote yam koyov inu chayv alachat. But Gnazir is drinking wine all day. It's only chayv once. Ella Amru lo al tishteh al tishteh. They give him a straw each time before he drinks. Who shall take chayv kol achat beachat? Then he's chayv on each drink that he takes, each revis he takes. Chayv kol achat kol yom. He's shaving his head all day. Inu chayv al achat. He is only chayv once. Amru lo al tigaleach. Al tigaleach. They keep telling him, don't shave, don't shave. Umi galeach. And he continues to shave. Chayv al kol achat beachat. Chayv on each one. If he was becoming tamei all day, if he said him, don't become tamei, chayav al kol achat v'achat. Then he's chayav on each one.
Does he need a shechem between each?
No, because this is b'mezid. So b'mezid, here he's going to get malchus, and here they're telling him, as you get masra each time, masra changes it from shogeg to mezid. Here, giving him malchus. So he wants to drink wine all day. Each time you tell him that he's not allowed to drink wine, he goes in and drinks wine. He'll be chayav malchus for the
But in other words, I'm just saying, why wouldn't his action after one hasra be considered the result of that first hasra, unless there was some kind of shikacha before the next hasra?
No, that is. His action is related to the hasra. But then, what happens if you say, al tishteh, he drinks a glass of wine, Then you go ahead and say Altishta again after he's drunk that glass of wine, and he drinks again, he'll be chayav each time he drinks. As opposed to when you just warn him at the beginning of the day and say, don't drink wine. He drinks once, he'll be chayav for that first time, and then after he keeps on drinking, there's no additional isur that's generated there. He has to be warned to separate between each drink, right, to make it a new isur. You have to warn him. You have to bring a hasra in between. That divides them up. That's bechalik.
So why, if he remembers that initial hasra,
every time he drinks,
why does a new hasra? Why is a new hasra necessary to generate a new chiyuv? Why can't the initial hasra generate that new chiyuv?
Because it's all part of the original hasra. Meaning that to get malchus, you need hasra. Right, and that one hasra is only sufficient to take care of one drink.
It only has
its tokif is only good, right? It expires after he's drunk, or it doesn't really expire, but it's just you're over the same lav the whole time because he warned you about one lav, and now you're doing that same isur the whole time. All right, now the Gemara says, "If I'm a rabbi bar Rabuna, if Rav Malei Diber Akotuv," right? The pasuk says, "Or Mikra Malei Diber Akotuv." That what says by Meis says. By mate, that he's not allowed to become Tameh, right? It says Kol. Right, it's Kol Yimei Yisrael Hashem al Nefesh Meleh Yavol, Aviv Yimol, Achiv Lachoto, Lo Yita Ma, Lahem Bimotam. So it says Lo Yita Ma, Kishu Omer Lo Yavo, right? It says that he's not allowed to go in. Right? So it says Al Nefesh Mate, Lo Yavo, and it says Lo Yita Ma. So there are two lavim that are written by Tumat HaMeis, by the Nazir. One is Lo Yavo, he shouldn't come into Tumah, or into the Meis. And number two is that Lo Yitama, that he shouldn't become Tameh by the Meis. So are these two restrictions. Lazhiro al Tumah, Lazhiro al Habiyah. To say that there are two separate lavim by the Nazir. One is that he may not mitameh lemeitim, and number two is that he may not enter the Ohel HaMeis. Bia refers to coming into Ohel HaMeis. So those are two restricted. About Tuma, Tuma lo. But according to Rabbo, right, that Tuma and Tuma not. I mean that a Nazir can violate, right, Tuma twice. Once by touching the Meis, and once by entering the Ohel HaMeis. But if he touches multiple Meisim, according to Rabbo, that's all one restriction of Lo Yitama, that you can't touch it. Rabbi Yosef Amar Alukim, what are you saying, Amar Rabuna? Rabuna never said such a thing. Afilu Tuma Tuma. Rabbi Yosef says that Rabuna believed even when you have multiple times that you touch a mace, each time you touch the mace, you'll be violating the law of Lo Yitama. Amar Rabuna. Why? Nazir Shayo made Rabbi Takvarot. Hey, Nazir, that was in the Beit HaKvarot. Shalom Meito, who made Acher. Right, so if he's in the Beit HaKvarot, so he's already Tameh, right, because he walked in there, he walked over the Kvarim, he was Tameh old mate, and now he's Tameh. Then you could give him another mate to hold, or his mate, doesn't really matter, but Nagabo Chayav, he's Chayav. Am I? Mitameh Mikayim, he's already Tameh. Why should he be Tameh again when he turns into mate? El Alash Mamino, that you can be Mitameh Acher Mitameh. That you can be Mitameh multiple times. So even though you are Tameh already, you can, by touching the mace, violate the Isur of Lo Yitama again. So now the Gemara is going to ask us. So now, I will say to you that the Gemara can be read one of two ways. Right, the Rosh brings down both Girsa'ot. One of them follows the Girsa of the Mefaresh. One of them follows the way the Mefaresh learns. The other one follows the way the relearns. I'll learn it like the Mefaresh right now, which is the simpler way to learn, which is now we have Rabbi Yosef arguing with Rabbah about the statement of Rav Huna. Is that everybody agrees that what there are two lavim here. One is that you may not enter the Ohel HaMeis, and one is that you may not touch a mace. The question that we have is if you touch multiple meitim, are you chayev multiple times? So Rabba says no, and Rav Yosef says yes. Now the Gemara is going to challenge Rabba's position that it's not. That's what the Mefarsh is learning now. So he says, Abai asks a question. Kohen shelo meit munach al ketefo. A Kohen was carrying a mace on his shoulders. Voshilo meito umeit acher. And then they pass him another mate to touch. Binagobo, Yokoye Chayav. You think he might be Chayav. Talmud Lomar Velo Yichalel. Right, okay, this is a question. The Girso here, whether it should say, it really should say, I think most of the Mishnah changed the Girso. Talmud Lomar Velo Yichalel. Right, Vemisha Enu Mechulal. Yetzezeh Shehu Mechulal Ve'omeid. So you see what? That you have to be, once you are Tameh, you cannot be Tameh again. Samalei says to him, "B'tik shalach masnison." Wait a minute. What are you challenging me? So Rav Yosef, the question here is on Rav Yosef. All right, Rav Yosef says tuma utuma is. I'm sorry. The question on Rav Yosef says that tuma after tuma can work. Here we have an explicit limud by Kohen that tuma after tuma is not restricted. Once you mechal yourself once, you can't be mechal yourself multiple times. Rishonim all here point out that there's a hekesh between Kohen and Gadol. We learn out things from Kohen Gadol, Kohen and Nazir, that they all have the same application by tuma. So since by Kohen you can only become tamei once and violate the law, same should be true by Nazir. Mar says, what are you asking me? What about our Mishnah? That's not. Ayam etamei lemeitim kol hayom, eno chayv al achad. Mishnah says, if he's metamei to the meitim all day, so only chayv once. Amar lo, al tamei. If they warn him each time, do not become tamei, chayv al kol achad ve'achad. He can become chayv on each one. So you see, from the Mishnah, you can have multiple two modes. So how can you have a bracer here that says that you can only be metamei one time? And over here in our Mishnah, it says it can be multiple times. So why are you asking on Rabbi Yosef? From the Braisa doesn't even stand in the face of our Mishnah. It must be a bad Braisa to start with. So where it says, "Hi, am I? Why how many times have in our Mishnah? Why should it be that he's five multiple times?" Ella, kasha adodi. So what are you going to say? The problem? There's a problem steer between the Braisa and the Mishnah, right? Lo kasha. No, we can explain this. Kan bichiburim, kan shelo bichiburim. So again, we're going to explain this like the Mifareish. Kan bichiburim and kan shelo bichiburim is. What's your status at this time? So if you remember in the Braisa, what was he doing? He had the mace on his shoulder. So as long as he's still in contact with the first mace, when he touches other meitim, it does not change his status, or does not increase the tumah, or change the bring another lav, and therefore he's only chayav once. That's the case in the Braisa. In the Braisa, he still is in contact with one mace. When he touches another mace, that has no impact. Right, that is, our Mishnah is talking about where he's already released the first mace. He became Tamei, and now he's no longer touching that mace. And then he goes and touches a different mace, or even the same mace. That is, that he's re-engaging in Tuma. When he re-engages in Tuma, then he violates an additional lav. Okay, so the difference will be, simply, when do we say that you can have Tuma Achar Tuma, but you only have Tuma Achar Tuma when you disengaged from the first Tuma that you were touching, and now you got re-engaged with another Tuma. But where you're still engaged with the first tuma, meaning that you're carrying the mace on your shoulders, and then you touch another mace, that's already like, hello, that is, you're already in the status of mechulal, and therefore you can't, what, become more tamei. That's where the Mepharsh learns it. Now, the metuma de chiburim deoraisa. So Gemara says, based on this, you're suggesting, what, that tuma de chiburim is mi deoraisa, mina Torah. Why? Because you're saying the lav will depend on whether he's still attached to the original mace or not attached to the original mace. And whether you're in contact with the first person you touched will determine whether you're chayim for the second time. That chiyu is a chiyu midoraisa of a lav. That suggests that this concept of chiburim, of being attached to the tumah, is a din in, what? A din de oraisa. Ha'amar Rav Yitzchak by Yosef from Ranai, lo amra tumah b'chiburim et l'chumah b'kodshim. Of a lozim v'ilse pesach, lo. The only time we say that tumah chiburim works is by chumah and kodshim, but by nozir and ilse pesach, no. That sounds like it's a Din the Rabbonon, and the Rabbonon picked, right, where they were metamei and where they were not metamei. So they did not omei dvarav in the case of a nazir, which will uproot his nazirut, or a pesach, which is a chiyub karei. So they didn't uproot their words. What is this chibur over here?
But what does it mean that it is by truma and kachim and not by pesach?
Right. Or nazir and pesach, also pesach,
or
right?
Nazir, nazir. What does that mean?
That means that the Rabbonon only goes there, tumat chiburim, when it comes to Truma and Kodshim, and they were not gozerit by a Nazir.
When you say gozerit, Truma and Bechiburim, what do you mean?
That they said you will be Tamei. If you come into contact with Truma and Bechiburim, then you will be Tamei.
Tamei again.
Oh, so that's a good question. What does it mean again here? But it can't be again here because this is going to be for the first time. So by sharpening the question, you get to the answer already. So you're asking me a question that's going to get you the answer, which is, how did he become Tamei here? And so the case is where you have a mace here, mm-hmm. and you have an individual who's touching that mace.
Mm-hmm.
Alright? Now, when that individual touches that mace, what's he? He's Tamei Shivat Yamim. Now, what happens if you, while he's touching this mace, you come and touch him? So in general, when you touch someone who is Tamei mace, you're only Tamei Tumat Erev, because he's a Abba Tuma, and you become a Rishon the Tuma. So here, it sounds like the Chachamim where it goes there, when I'm holding onto this mace, and you touch me, right, that not only are you Tamei Tumat Erev, you are Tamei Tumat Shiva.
Because as long as he's attached to the mace, he passes on the tumah of the mace, and you become, like it's a, he's conducted of the tumah, he becomes a conductor of the tumah, and anybody who touches this person who's in contact with the mace will also become tamei tumat shivas yomim.
That's only for tumim kachim.
Right. So the Chachamim said that gezeira of that tumat chiburim, that you can be conductive of tumah for 7 days, is only true by tumah and kachim, and not true by osa pesach and nazir. But the fact that you can differentiate shows that it's only a din derabonon. And yet we just said that chiburin is a din d'oraisa, because we're applying it by nazir to determine whether you're chayav the lav or not chayav the lav. Whether you're chayav multiple lavim or not will be whether you're determined by whether you're still in contact with the mace or not.
He's asking me is makos.
Right. How many makot you could get, or how many hasra you can give you to get multiple makot. If you're still in contact with the mace, according to our Gemara, then even if you touch multiple mateim, you're only chayav once, because you're still in contact with the original mace. Whereas, if you let go of the original mace, now you touch new mateim, then each time you touch, you'll become chayav again for a lot.
So the asker of this question wants to give more than one set of makos to the nazir, who is Nifma.
Well, that's at least the conclusion of our Gemara above, that you get more than one Malchus, which is a Dindo Raisel. And now you're bringing me that Chiburin is really Derabonin, because Derabonin separate out when Chiburin works and when it doesn't work. It only goes there, there's too much Shiva for Kachim and Truma, not for Nazir. But it's impressive. The fact that you differentiate in too much Chiburin proves to you that it's a Dindo Rabonin, because the Dindo Raisel applies everywhere. The fact that they're differentiating it tells you it's a Dindo Rabonin. So now you have a one din teaching you that it's derabanan, one din teaching you that it's deraisa. What is it? Is it a derabanan or is it a deraisa?
In our case of chiburim by nazir, isn't that case? It's a different case.
So that's the Gemara's answer. I said to you, if I clarify the question, you're going to have the answer, and that's exactly what the Gemara answers. Gemara deraisa maishna. So why should it make a difference? Kan bichubri adam v'adam, kan bichubri adam v'meis. Exactly what you just said, Speed. That the cases are different. In the case by the nazir, the tumat mace is still in contact with him, and now we want to make him tamei again. Right? That is a din deoraisa. If you're carrying out a mace on your shoulders, you remain tamei because of tumat chiburim, and if you go and touch other mitim, it'll have no impact at this point. Whereas in our case, in the case of tumat bachim and nazir and osa pesach, the case is that you're in contact with tumah, and we're not talking about you anymore. We're talking about a third party that comes and touches you. What's their status? So that's what the Mepharshim says, midoraisa, their status is tumat erev. When you're in contact with the mace, and then you are tamei tumat shiva, and the person who touches you should only be tamei tumat erev. So Rabbanan came ahead and went ahead and said they were gozer doraisa, that gozer, that when you come into contact with someone who's in contact with the mace, that they are what? Tamei tumat. Right, tamei tumas shiva, and that's exactly the rabbanon. It's exactly what you're saying. We have different cases here. One, you're talking about the person themselves that's in contact with the mace and what's their status. In the other case, you're talking about someone who's in contact with someone who's in contact with the mace. All right, so that would be the differentiation. That's why one case is the rabbanon and one case is deoraisa. All right, makes sense. Is that clear? All right.
Well, what's the asker getting at? What's he trying to say? Hey, he's saying tumas chiburin isn't deraisa.
Right.
We see this exact. So what does he want to say by nazir? That the nazir should be chayav more than one makos.
Right.
He's trying to be machmir.
Yes. That if you say tumas chiburim is only derabanan, then min haTorah there is no such thing as tumas chiburim. There's no such thing as tumas chiburim derabanan. Even when he's carrying on a mate and touches other mateim, he should be chayav. Right.
Okay.
Alright, so that the answer is no, that these two different types of chiburim, which you noted by clarifying the question, you noted that that's the answer already, that you have two cases. Here there's a third party. In the case of Tumah by Nazir and Truma and Kachim and Pesach, there's a third party involved. Over here by Nazir, when you're trying to get Malchus, it's only you. It's the person who's involved with the mace, you're in contact with the mace. So that's the Gemara's answer. Well, Tumah, lo, Daha Mitame. Alright, wait, hold on a second, I don't want to read this yet. Alright, now, that's the way the Mephoresh learns it. On the other hand, the Reed learns it, that even Rabba agrees, and this is what the Rosh says, that even Rabba agrees that Tumah Batumah works by Tumah Chiburim. The Rabba agrees that Tumah Batumah doesn't work, right, anywhere else. It works, but it does work by Tumah Chiburim. And then the Gemara challenges, right, Rabba, not Rabbi Yosef, but challenging Rabba, about how do you know that tumah tumah does not how do you know that Tumah Tumah does works? Right? Because we have this brisa that says that it doesn't work b'chiburin. That's where the Gemara comes and differentiates between and says, well, one is talking about Tumah Tumah, and one is talking about once you disengage from the Tumah. That's what Rabba means. Rabba says, when do we say ain Tumah Akar Tumah? That's when you're engaged. You're still b'chiburim in the Tumah. But when is it, if you're disengaged from the Tumah, then even Rabba agrees that you'll be touching other people.
What's the question? Why would you think that it's not, if you're disengaged?
Right.
Why would you say, why doesn't that be different than going to an oil or going into
Because you only have one lab of lo yitama. So once I'm tamay, how do you make yourself more tamay? Right?
I mean, because I don't know that you wouldn't be able for the other ones.
I mean, that once you're tamay, becoming more tamay is almost a meaningless statement.
Is that different than drinking wine? I guess if it's drinking wine, you drink more.
Each revie is a violation of the law. When you have tumah, right, so there might be if the restriction not to become tamay, and therefore you're already tamay, or the restriction is don't touch anything that will make you tamay.
But every house would still be, you'd still have another lab after you're going to house.
No, the first house would be one bia. You get one bia and one touching. Right, that's it. You have two labs. You have one bia into the house and one touching. That's it. So there you
go. Each one is like its own
category. Okay, so that's the Gemara says. Now, based on this, the Re says that when we're talking about here, when we differentiate the case here, since even Rav agrees by Tumas Chiburim that it works, Tumas Chiburim is Doraisa, the differentiation here, when the Gemara says, Kan b'chiburi Adam v'Adam, Kan b'chiburi Abameis, means this, that even Doraisa, according to the Re, even Doraisa, when the mace is here and I touch the mace, and a third person comes and touches me, they are Tomei, Tumat Shiva. That everybody agrees with. That's even a Torah principle. When does it change? What happens if a fourth person comes along? What happens if I'm now attached to the mace? I'm Tumat, right? So then I touch, you know, the next person over here. So you have Reuven, they have a mace here. Reuven's touching the mace. And now he's touching Shimon. Shimon is Tumat, right? According to the read. Yeah, it's the fourth. But now Levi comes along, right? And touches Shimon.
Right. The mace as opposed to Adam's mace.
Right. Right, so how many people are involved here? So that's the question here. So when it's two, that's what the Gemara is answering up. When it's just, when there's three people involved, the mace, the first person touching him and the second person touching him, then that's midoraisa. When it comes to four people involved, meaning you have a mace, then you have Reuven touching Shimon and Shimon touching Levi, that is a din derabbanan. That's the way the read learns the Gemara. That's the difference. Because he proves from other places that you can see that Tumas Chiburim is midoraisa when you have this conductive property of Reuven touching the mace and Reuven touching Shimon. Alright, so now the Gemara says, about Tumah Tumah Lo, right? Why is it that by Tumah, sequential Tumot, that we would say no, the Hamatame, even claim, because he is already Tameh. So Gemara says, Tumah Via Nami Hamatame, even claim. So when you have the two cases of Tumah and Via, Via should only become a problem if you become Tameh by going into the OL. But if you're Tameh already, what is going into the OL have any impact? You're already Tameh, it should be meaningless. So Rabbi Yochum can be bite, can be sadet. We can answer that. Why? Because it depends where he is. Right? Where is he? When he's out, when he comes into the house, simultaneously with his coming into the house, he's tamei 2 months mace, and he's tamei 2 months ohel. So therefore, in one shot, you can get violate both isurim of lo yavo and lo yitama. But when you're out in the field, right, and then the guy became Tamei, right, and he already if you touch the mace already in the field, and then you want to walk him to an ohel, I agree, you can't be chayev twice there because you're already Tamei. So this case of where you're going to be chayev both for Bia and for Tuma, it's going to be a unique case where the Tuma happens at the same time you're Bia. That's only when you're entering the ohel that you become both Tamei Tuma's ohel and Tamei Tuma's mace at the same instant.
Because he goes into the house and touches the mace, or he carries the mace?
No, as soon as you walk into the house, you are tummy because of going into the house, but you're also tummy because you're in the old house. You become tummy now.
You end up the issues because you're coming to
what?
The issues because you're coming to
you violated two isurim now.
One is you're going to the oil.
And number two is that once you're in the oil, you become tummy. Okay, so that's it. You don't have to touch the mace anymore. But here, the problem is if you did touch the mace already, you're already tummy. And going to the ohel does nothing, because going to the ohel, the problem going to the ohel is that you're going to become tamei. And you already are tamei. So what's the difference? So that's what Rabbi Yochanan suggests.
And in the sada,
the sada is you touch the mace already. In the sada, there's no ohel there, so you touch the mace. You're tamei already. Once you're tamei, entering the ohel doesn't do anything for you, because you're already tamei. Right, so it has to be that entering the ohel is what brings on the tumah, to violate lo yavo. going to the Ohel has to be that you're becoming Tamei going to the Ohel. So the only way that can be is if you're not Tamei going into the Ohel. Okay, so that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. Alright, we'll stop here. The Gemara goes on. It's going to challenge this based on Dinei Tumas Ohel. It goes on through most of the daf tomorrow, or most of the Omer tomorrow. So we'll stop here.